The Unlovable by A Time Feeler. Part 1 of the Arcadius and Raphael series, as read by Devil with a Bird Dress. A bear sat next to the river, looking very lost and angry. He was not just any bear, but a demonic bear. Technically, he looked like a glacier bear. It was a very rare type of bear that hadn't been invented yet and wouldn't be until a couple of odd genes mixed around and the humans got around to discovering there was something different about this bear. His snout was black, fading to a pepper gray that colored the rest of his body. His fur was thick and fluffy, and it would have been too thick for a tropical environment if he wasn't using a demonic miracle to cool himself down. The demon, Arcadius, was sitting in Eden, unsure what to do with himself. His job was quite literally stolen from him. "Get up there and make some trouble," they'd said, and Arcadius assumed he'd start with the one rule that God had given the humans. Don't eat the forbidden fruit. Sure, okay. Easy enough rule, right? There was only one, so Arcadius set out to figure out what was so bad about the fruit in the first place. Only when he reached the tree, Eve was munching happily on her third apple, and Adam was starting on his first. In the center of the scene was an angel, smiling happily as he watched Eve enjoy her apple. The bear stopped in his tracks, heavy rear thumping on the ground as he sat and took in the scene in shock. An angel? Not wanting to be seen by an angel, Arcadius trudged away in his bear form and prowled around the garden anxiously. The angel just stole his only job, his first job. It just so happened that Arcadius had to fight for this job. He was in a lowly status when he fell, but his cursed form was strong and large, so Arcadius fought his way to the top. He was tired of scraping at the bottom of the barrel, and he realized the only way for him to get out of the pit was to push down others to get there. As an angel, he never had a taste for violence, but Arcadius found that if he was going to survive here, he had to acquire one. While he wasn't a Duke of Hell, Arcadius was feared. He was respected. But this was something he could easily lose. He lost the fight to Beelzebub, but one less than Satan's plus one was enough to get him this promotion. It was the damn swarm of flies and maggot infestation that drew the line for Arcadius. He could have beat her, but it was just so gross. He figured he wouldn't want to be Lucifer's pet anyway, and jumped at the first opportunity to get out of the foul-smelling place. So far, Arcadius was enjoying Earth immensely, especially the little berries that dotted the greenery. Arcadius tried a bit of everything and found he especially liked the raspberries and the strawberries. He was stuffing his mouth full of them in panic when he heard God's loud voice booming in the garden. Immediately, Arcadius froze and terror trembled through his shoulders. She was there. She had found him sneaking in the garden and stealing its fruit, and now she would smite him a second time over. Her berating words would strike like a lash across his skin, and Arcadius would never regain his position in hell, having been caught by the Lord herself. "Where art thou?" Arcadius jumped and bolted instantly. It was foolish to try and outrun the Almighty, but Arcadius could feel his bones rattling with the terror of being caught. God had only spoken to the fallen to give them their curse and damned names, but Arcadius still trembled with the memory. He darted underneath a stone wedged at the base of a mountain, and he squeezed himself into the gap. It was dark and damp in the den, and Arcadius breathed heavily, looking all around the darkness as if the Lord would appear at any second.
"Who told you that you were naked?"
Naked? Arcadius glanced down at himself and the gray fur that covered his body. He supposed he technically counted as being naked. He lifted his paws away from his eyes and realized that the voice, though everywhere, was not directed towards him. There was no light exposing his every weakness or pointed weight of omnipotence and all-knowingness zeroed in on him. God was speaking to the humans. They were cast out, it seemed, and Arcadius squeezed out of his hiding spot to go cause some more trouble before they left. "Well, that went down like a lead balloon," the angel said, beating the demon to the punchline. He had climbed a tree that scaled up the east wall and marched over to the angel that gave them apples. Arcadius shifted into his demon form, and it wasn't too different from his bear form. He had pale skin and light gray hair that curled over his head and into a beard. The beard was as thick and coarse as his fur, and peppered with gray and black. He was heavy-set, with strong arms and legs and a round, soft middle. His nose was probably considered big, but Arcadius thought it was a fair size, considering it used to be a snout. Sharp canines and strong molars lined his teeth, and his nails were abnormally sharp to somewhat mimic the vicious claws he had.
"What?" the remark threw him off. "Oh, yes, it did, rather."
"I can't see what the problem is," he muttered. "They were only doing the right thing."
The right thing?
Arcadius knew the angel must have been daft to make a mistake like that, but he didn't think he was this stupid.
"You obviously did the wrong thing. Next time I see you, you'll be in hell."
"Hmm?" He was watching the humans, distracted. "Oh, no, I won't." Arcadius scowled.
"But you made a mistake."
"Did I?" he asked. "You know, I don't think knowing the difference between good and evil is all that bad."
"Well, it must be bad," Arcadius said. "Otherwise, you wouldn't be in trouble for it, and they wouldn't have gotten kicked out."
"Well," the angel shifted, "God's not mad at me. I just followed the plan."
"The plan," Arcadius said dubiously.
"Yeah, the ineffable one," he explained, "incapable of being put into words."
"I know what ineffable means," Arcadius growled. "What makes you think you know it?"
The angel grinned at him. "Oh, that's easy. I peeked."
"You what?"
Arcadius looked at him in shock. How had he not fallen?
"Yeah, it was easy. I was up there making the last star for the savior of the world, and I thought, why do the humans need a savior? What do they need saving from?
It wasn't too hard to find the plans for the world, and I used the index, flipped to the savior page, and found out he's supposed to save the humans from their sin." Arcadius was trying to pay attention, but he got distracted by Adam slaying the lion with a flaming sword. His sword, actually. "Well, you know what they say, foster dissent and discord. Looks like he's done that, at least. So, when I was stationed down here, I figured this whole apple tree business was the answer," the angel finished.
"But everyone knows God forbade them from eating it. It was the only rule she gave them, and there was a whole meeting about it in hell. Surely your people had some sort of presentation?"
"Oh, for sure," he agreed. "Missed it, though. I was busy making the star." Arcadius wondered what on earth the savior of the world would need a star for, when the angel continued. "But it makes sense, doesn't it? To be saved from sin, you have to know how to do sin in the first place. And I did catch the end of the presentation where they said God commanded them to multiply. I'm pretty sure you have to know how to do that, and sitting around in a garden all day wasn't going to teach them."
"Yes, well, didn't they have their instincts?" Arcadius pointed out. He didn't think it was very hard to learn how to multiply.
His eyes lit up. "Actually, did you know that none of the animals had their instincts? They were all in this sort of pause button, sitting in harmony, singing kumbaya, and eating grapes." Arcadius muttered to himself, "The hell's kumbaya?" "Lions aren't even supposed to eat grapes. They're carnivores," the angel said gleefully. "But Adam and Eve didn't know that, so it wouldn't be fair if the lions knew that either. We couldn't have them killing an Adam and Eve, could we?"
"Well, they obviously don't have that issue anymore," Arcadius muttered.
"Only because they know lions are dangerous now," he said smugly. "Because of the tree." Arcadius glanced at his face, that smug expression, and glared forwards again. His scowl hardened as he watched Eve gently close the eyes of the slain beast. Of course, the angel had every reason to be smug. He was an angel, still an angel, after everything he'd done. He snuck a look at the great plans without God's permission, and then directly disobeyed a commandment she'd given, and now stood proudly on the eastern wall as he watched the humans discover death. Arcadius went up to the wall to celebrate another soul falling into sin, and planned to intimidate him. After working so hard for his reputation in hell, he didn't want this angel making his life hard once he'd fallen. Arcadius planned on intimidating him, threatening him a bit, and putting the fear of failure and rejection into this angel. How the conversation was going, however, it seemed like that wasn't the case. He was so deep in his loathing that Arcadius didn't notice the angel studying him intently.
"Didn't you have a flaming sword?"
"What?"
Arcadius jerked.
"You did, didn't you?
It was flaming like anything. He grinned, and Arcadius hated his face. Lost it already?
I didn't lose it, Arcadius growled, claws leaping from his hands as he displayed himself as a threat.
The angel simply raised a brow.
Arcadius huffed and turned forward again to mutter, I gave it away.
You what?
I gave it away! Oh, honestly, as if it was more shocking than an angel not falling for disobeying God.
Arcadius glanced at the angel, and the shock on his face was irritating enough to get Arcadius going.
I was supposed to make some sort of trouble up here, but before I can even get a word in, you're telling them to eat the apple like it isn't forbidden, and I'm left without a job.
So you gave away your sword, he said slowly, like the words Arcadius were saying weren't making sense.
Yes, obviously, they were going to need to defend themselves somehow, especially with Eve expecting already.
Arcadius seemed to realize his mistake the second the angel did, and an ear-to-ear grin split his face. Quickly, Arcadius remediated.
I was teaching them death and violence.
Right.
That stupid grin didn't falter an inch. I gave them a tool to kill.
Arcadius enunciated it so the daft angel would understand clearer.
Violence, maiming, selfishly putting their lives above other creatures.
Oh, yes, very evil, he said. I'm sure it had nothing to do with protection or warmth. Very demonic of you.
As if you going against God is very angelic, Arcadius snapped.
The angel shrugged. I already talked to her. It seemed fine.
You talked to her?
Arcadius suddenly felt very small.
She's very cryptic, you know, always speaking in circles. She's very witty, but I never get the joke right away. Takes me a minute. Sometimes I just laugh to pretend I understand, honestly, he confessed.
It suddenly made sense. He was a favorite. He stayed behind doing a special task for her while every other angel was sitting in a board meeting. He thought his understanding of her will to be higher than any other angel. This angel was that confident in his relationship with the Almighty, and, to Arcadius's mounting hatred, he had a relationship with her in general. Most angels couldn't say they were ever that lucky.
What's your name?
Arcadius cut in, and the angel looked at him, surprised. Then his face softened into a friendly grin.
Raphael, he said. What's yours?
Raphael, an archangel, the archangel that Aziraphale was made after.
Hello, Aziraphale, said the bright, warm light. Aziraphale blinked with his new eyes and said, Hello, to the warmth he felt all around him.
You are very brave, the light told him. He didn't know what this meant yet. You were made for a special purpose. You're going to help my Raphael very much.
Her Raphael. Hers. Her favorite angel. Even when Arcadius was an angel, he knew that Raphael was special to her, and he had never met him before. Every time he tried, Raphael was whisked away, off somewhere in the cosmos, never available. Aziraphale was left utterly alone, with only vague directions to become a soldier, because some angels had decided that if he was brave, he ought to be given a sword. And he kept that sword, clutching it as he fell. And he kept that sword, clutching it as he fought his way through hell. And he kept that sword, clutching it as he saw the two beings that God loved more than him. After they took the apple and were cast out, Arcadius felt a sort of kinship with them. They didn't know better, couldn't know better, and yet they were cast from God's presence nonetheless. Arcadius knew the feeling all too well. So he gave that sword away, and he knew he didn't do a good thing, because that sword was the only thing tying him to Aziraphale, the naive, good angel. He was Arcadius now, and he said as much. I'm Arcadius.
It's nice to meet you, Arcadius, Raphael smiled, and Arcadius didn't return the favor.
Yes, it's horrid to meet you as well.
Arcadius rolled his eyes and looked away. This whole interaction was a bust. He was supposed to be intimidating and threatening an angel doomed to fall soon, not carrying a conversation.
The Archangel seemed the opposite of intimidated if the way he was watching and smiling at Arcadius indicated anything. The angel had bright golden eyes that were striking to look at, and off-putting all the same. There were dots lining his cheeks, splattered like paint and sparkling faintly. He had red hair that tumbled down his shoulders in perfect waves and a pair of white wings that spanned larger than Arcadius's black ones. In a pocket dimension, Arcadius could sense the other pairs of wings Raphael was hiding away and glowered at the dunes. He was contemplating his odds against the Archangel when the sky started to darken. A rumble of thunder startled him from his thoughts, and a single drop fell from the sky and made a perfect circle on the stone. Arcadius started when a large shadow fell over him, and Raphael shuffled closer to him. "What are you doing?" Arcadius snapped, suspicious eyes flicking up to the white wing hovering over him. "There is water falling from the sky," Raphael explained. "It could be holy." Fear seized his chest, and Arcadius jerked closer to the angel in response. More drops began to fall, and Arcadius glanced up at the taller angel in surprise. "You're protecting me," Arcadius said, hatred and anger falling away into shock. Raphael grinned down at him. "What sort of angel would I be if I didn't?" "A good one," Arcadius retorted. "I'm a demon, if you weren't aware." Raphael hummed and tilted his head up to the sky. He closed his eyes as he let the rain soak him completely, and Arcadius couldn't help but notice how unfairly beautiful he looked. The perks of being an unfallen angel, he supposed. The rain trailed down his temple and dyed the bright curls a darker shade of red. He wasn't so striking to look at with his eyes closed and long lashes pebbled with water brushing his cheeks, but Arcadius found he couldn't look away all the same. "It's not holy," Raphael said instead of answering, and after he spoke, he decided to open his mouth again and stick out his tongue. Arcadius watched this, bemused. "What are you doing?" "I wanted to see what it tastes like," Raphael said. "It tastes like something, but also like nothing." Arcadius scoffed. "It has to taste like something because it is something." "You try it, then." "I'm not falling for that. What if you're lying about the holiness of it?" Arcadius accused, his heart pounding in his chest as he glanced up at the wing currently shielding him. Was this what it really came down to? He survived damnation and the viciousness of the fallen and clawed his way to the surface only to be at the mercy of an angel? This angel? "I'm not," Raphael frowned. "Angels don't lie." Arcadius knew for a fact that wasn't true. As an angel, he lied plenty of times. "Of course I don't mind. Yes, I am enjoying myself. I'll work on that, Gabriel. Of course, I understand. No, I'm fine." He didn't trust Raphael's words in the slightest, and the look on his face must have given him away. "I don't see any reason to kill you," Raphael said bluntly. "I think it'd be rather rude, actually." "It's practically in the job description," Arcadius quipped. "Well, I'll leave my wing up," Raphael decided. "It could use the stretch." It was such an awful excuse, but Arcadius let it slide. He was the one stuck underneath said wing anyway. Trusting the angel's word was something he was hesitant to do, but Raphael seemed far more concerned with the blurring image of the humans rather than the puddle that was inching its way towards Arcadius's bare feet. He curled his toes, heart hammering in his chest as he squeezed closer to the angel. They bumped shoulders, and Raphael looked down, surprised, before he smiled at Arcadius. It was an innocent sort of smile, one that was open and unguarded. It spoke truth and the genuine crinkle around his eyes and the dimples in his cheeks. Arcadius didn't think he'd ever seen someone smile at him like that. "Where were you," Arcadius thought, "before I fell?" He didn't notice the puddle brushing his feet, and he didn't need to. Arcadius stayed under Raphael's wing as they watched the sheet of rain pour over the desert and the garden. Thank you for listening. This has been The Unlovable by A Time Feeler, as read by Devil with a Bird Dress. Next in the series is The Innocent.